Is modern man far from peace? No one is dangerously unhappy except the individual who does not know what happiness means. Life is unbearable only to those who are ignorant of why they are alive. Men in such a condition of soul equate happiness with pleasure, which is a very different matter, and identify joy with a tingling of the nerve endings, which it is not. But things which are external to us never bring us inner peace. The more persistently anyone looks for satisfaction and a goal to serve in something outside of his control, the less stable he will find it, the more subject he will be to disappointments. There are two movements towards happiness. The first of these is our withdrawal from the outside, from too great an absorption in the things of the world. The second movement is far more profound. It is an ascension from what is inferior within us to what is its superior, from our egotism to our God. Modern man has experienced the first movement. Exterior things have become so many sources of misery to him. Wars, depressions, the insecurity and emptiness of life have so terrified men that they have tried to close off their contacts with the outside world and have begun to seek for satisfactions in their own limited selves. That is why psychiatry is having such a field day. The modern soul, alarmed at what it finds without, has drawn down the shades and begun to look for contentment in analyzing its own unconsciousness, anxieties and fears, its doldrums and frustrations. But such self-containment can prove a prison if one is locked into it with his own ego alone, for there is no more confining straitjacket in the world than that of the self left to itself. The cure never lies in using a psychoanalytic scalpel to release the inner moral pus and watch it flow. That is a morbid act for both the patient and the doctor. The cure, rather, consists in discovering why one is lonely and afraid of solitude, for most people have a dread of being alone without knowing why the prospect frightens them. The problem of our day is this problem of finding interior peace, and it is in this that the 20th century is marked off from the 19th. 100 years ago, men looked to the exterior world for the answers to their problems. They worshipped science or nature, expected happiness to come from progress or politics or profits. The 20th century man is worried about himself. He is even more concerned over the problem of sex than by sex itself, is interested in the mental attitude he should take towards it, rather than in its physical satisfaction and the beginning of children. His own values, moods, and attitudes absorb him. Although a great deal of nonsense has been written about the interior life of men in our day, it is still true that the 20th century is closer to God than the 19th century was. We are living on the eve of one of the great spiritual revivals of human history. Souls are sometimes closest to God when they feel themselves farthest away from Him, at the point of despair. For an empty soul, the divine can fill. A worried soul, the infinite can pacify. A self-concerned, proud soul, however, is inaccessible to grace. Modern man has been humiliated. Neither his proud expectations of progress nor of science have turned out as he hoped. Yet he has not quite reached the point of humbling himself. He is still imprisoned in the self and able to see nothing else beyond. The psychoanalyst may be allowed to bore into his thoughts for a few years more, but the time is not far off when modern men will utter a frantic appeal to God to lift them from the empty cistern of their own egos. St. Augustine knew it well. He said, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in Thee." That is why, although a catastrophic war may threaten us, the times are not as bad as they seem. Modern man has not yet returned to God, but he has at least returned to himself. Later he will surpass and transcend himself with God's grace, which he is seeking even now. No one ever looked for something unless he knew that it existed. Today the frustrated soul is looking for God, as for the memory of a name he used to know. The difference between those who have found God in faith and those who are still seeking Him is like the difference between a wife happy in the enjoyment of her husband's companionship and a young girl wondering if she will ever find a husband, and perhaps trying to attract men by the wrong approach. Those who search for pleasure, fame, and wealth are all seeking the infinite, but the seekers are still on the outskirts of the eternal city. Those with faith have penetrated to their real home within the infinite and have found the peace which the world cannot give. As one can see a figure far off and not yet recognize him as a long-lost friend, so one can sense the need of the infinite and desire the endless ecstasy of love, but not yet know that it is God. It makes no difference how wicked a soul may be. There is no one subjecting himself to illicit pleasures who does not have a consciousness of his subjection and his slavery. Perhaps that is why alcoholics are often liars. Their lips deny a slavery which their lives so visibly witness. Such individuals, unwilling to admit themselves mistaken, still refuse to be convinced of divine truth. But their sadness and their emptiness will eventually drive them to the God of mercy. Our exterior world today is in desperate straits, but the inner world of man is far from hopeless. The world of politics and economics lags behind the psychological development of men themselves. The world is far from God, but human hearts are not. That is why peace will come less from political changes than from man himself, who, driven to take refuge within his own soul from the turmoil without, will be lifted above himself to the happiness for which he was made.